Come to the Word this morning. Father God, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for the promises of your Word. Lord, we thank you for the ways that your Word speaks truth and power and life into our hearts and into our spirits, into our lives. It gives us wisdom. Flat batteries, that's the problem. Okay. Can you hear me now? Rewind, replay, instant replay. Sorry, I don't have an instant replay function. Okay, so last week, as I was saying, we looked at the question, what do you want me to do for you? This week, the question is, why are you so afraid? Interesting question. But before we get into our scripture this morning, we're going to be looking at a story from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. But like last week, just for a little bit of fun, we talked about how we can we have all these kind of digital assistants these days. We have Alexa, and we have Cortana, and we also have, if you're an Apple user, we have Siri. And Siri's been around for a few years. And there are some interesting questions. You can ask Siri questions. You can ask her movie times. You can ask her, or you can actually have a, you can, Siri can be a him if you like, but you can ask Siri what the weather's going to be like. But sometimes, every now and again, you kind of get an unusual response. So we're going to look at a couple of Ask Siri questions today, all right? First one, if you ask Siri, does Santa exist? Kids, no, there's no young kids here, we're okay. Siri says, I'm going to pretend you didn't ask that. I don't want you to get a lump of coal this year. You can ask Siri if she knows any jokes. And she came up with this one. She says, I asked my new friend to meet me at the gym, but they never showed up. I guess the two of us aren't going to work out. Boom, boom. All right. Or you can ask, you can get really deep and you can ask Siri, what is the answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything? All evidence to date suggests it's chocolate. There's a few people that are happy about that response. So I mean, this is a bit of fun, but also there are some serious questions, and as we begin to get into the passage of Scripture, I'm going to show a little video clip just first that talks about it's a person in a counsellor's office, and I don't know if you've ever been to a counsellor or had counselling, but one of the things that a good counsellor does is that they ask questions far more than they give advice. In fact, that's really what their role there is for, is to ask insightful questions, ask the right questions, and a good counsellor can reveal more to you about yourself through asking the right question than about giving any kind of advice from their own experience or their own wisdom. And in this next clip, we have one of Jesus' disciples who's in the counsellor's office.
Why don't you tell me what happened?
I was with Jesus all day. So we get on a boat to cross the lake, and, more boats come too. I guess they were all so caught up in following him that they didn't even see it coming.
See what coming?
That storm last night. I have never been on the lake in a storm like that. And there Jesus is, in the stern, laying down, fast asleep. We woke him up. We asked him, "Teacher, do you not care if we perish?"
How did he answer?
He shouted at the storm, "Quiet! Be still!" And get this, just the wind just stopped, the lake completely flat.
How did that make you feel?
That part was awesome. But then he turned to us, he looked me right in the eye, and he said, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?"
As the ubiquitous or stereotypical counsellor question in there, how did that make you feel? So this story, and we're going to dive into it and read it from the Scripture in just a moment and look through it again. One of the things that we're doing in this series is actually slowing down a little bit over some passages of Scripture and really kind of looking to take time to pause and reflect and ask the Holy Spirit to really reveal stuff and help us to draw stuff out of passages of Scripture. So we're going to look at that Scripture again in just a moment. Just a couple of things about the Sea of Galilee. I don't know if you know much about the Sea of Galilee where this story takes place, but it's actually not a sea, it's a freshwater lake. It's about 21 kilometres long by 13 kilometres wide. It's kind of like a bit of a kite shape sort of thing, roughly, a little bit roundish. And it's kind of surrounded, being in a valley, it's surrounded by hills, which means that as the wind comes down off the hills, it can whip up storms and winds and things quite quickly just because of the geographical nature. It's actually the lowest freshwater lake in the world, at about 209 metres below sea level. So there you go. And Wikipedia says, due to its low-lying position in the Rift Valley, surrounded by hills, the sea can get sudden, violent storms. And this is kind of one of the things that we see coming up. So if you've got your Bibles, or if you want to follow along, there's a picture of the Sea of Galilee there. It gives you a little bit of a... That's obviously on a calm day, not a stormy day. But you kind of get a little bit of a sense of distances and stuff. That might be one of the places you visit in a couple of months, Hayley. So Mark 4, we're going to read from 35 to 41, and this is from the New Living Translation. It says, "As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let's cross to the other side of the lake.' So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, 'Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?' When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, 'Silence, be still.' Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and the waves obey him. Just want us to imagine ourselves in that scenario for a moment, just as we did last week. If it helps to close your eyes, feel free to close your eyes and picture what that would have been like. Take your place in Jesus' boat and allow yourself to be drawn into the whole experience of what it would have been like to be there that day. Let the drama unfold. Imagine the scene. At first, everything's fine. You're sitting back, enjoying a ride across a lake. It's a beautiful day. And suddenly the wind begins to pick up. And you see a little bit of concern etched on the faces of some of the other disciples. The storm clouds blow in quickly and you realize you're still a long way from the shore. Suddenly, you're in the thick of a real storm, being tossed around like a cork, waves crashing over the sides. And you feel that sinking feeling, that feeling of dread in the pit of your stomach. How does it make you feel? What goes through your mind with the waves pouring into the boat, threatening to sink it? Do you cry out to Jesus and find him unresponsive because he's asleep? After a while, he wakes and calms the wind and the sea and chides the disciples for their lack of faith. Do you share their awe as they realize that they are in the presence of some extraordinary power? Does anyone else here this morning, I don't know, find it a little bit ironic that it's when the wind and the waves are calm and everything's kind of blown over and Jesus is in control, that this is the moment when Scripture tells us that the disciples are terrified? After what they've just experienced, it says the disciples were absolutely terrified. I don't know. I find that really interesting. I find it strange. I would have think, you know, there'd be a whole flood of emotions going through their minds, kind of relief that the storm was over and they're not going to drown. And maybe like there's some of the practical ones among them are going, well, where's the buckets? We need to start bailing because there's water in the bottom of the boat or something. I don't know. But instead we see there's just this awe that comes over them, and it hits them, the power of this man. Suddenly the supernatural authority that Jesus has is something they've never seen before, and suddenly it clicks. Suddenly there's something that clicks in their minds, that clicks in their brains, that there's this awareness that suddenly comes over them that this person that they're dealing with is not just a wise teacher, he's not just a prophet, he's not just a rabbi, this is somebody with supernatural power that commands the wind, commands the rain, commands the storms, commands the waves, and they obey. Some of us would like to have that ability at times, I'm sure. Now, several of the disciples were fishermen. We know that, don't we? There was a few fishermen among the bunch. They'd fished this lake. The tilapia fish that are caught in the Sea of Galilee are known as St. Peter's fish because it's the kind of fish that have been there forever, and they thought that was, but Peter being a fisherman, he would have dragged up quite a few of them, I'm sure. And I'm sure that there were those who were in the boat among the disciples that would have thought, these guys they're experienced, they know what they're doing, we're sailing across the lake, they're taking charge in their fishing boat. They would have done this thousands of times before. And I'm sure that there was a degree to which those who were in the boat trusted the fishermen to sail them and get them across to the other side. It doesn't seem unreasonable, does it? And they would have trusted the skills of those guys to sail across the Sea of Galilee as long as the weather didn't turn too nasty. And so right up until the moment it did, they weren't afraid. They would have been having a great old time chatting away, talking about all the things that Jesus had just been teaching to the crowds, trying to make sense of it all. You know, all those parables and things that he'd been talking about. What does that one mean? What do you think he meant by that? You know, was that aimed at us? Was he talking about us? Or, you know, all those kind of, you can imagine the chatter and stuff going on, can't you? And right up until that moment when that storm really kind of began to hit full force and they began to realize that, you know, maybe see the concern on the guys who were doing the sailing and in charge, the fishermen, who, you know, as they realized that they weren't really in control anymore, suddenly they became aware that they couldn't trust in these guys anymore. And often we kind of find ourselves doing the same thing in life, don't we? We trust ourselves, or we trust our abilities, our skills. As long as things are going okay, we're not afraid. We're confident we can navigate life all right. As long as the storms don't pick up too much, we got the skills. When the crisis hits, we suddenly realize how ill-equipped we are to deal with what's happening. And our eyes start to fix not only on the circumstances and the wind and the waves around us, but we suddenly also become very, very aware of our own inability to deal with what's going on. We become very aware of how ill-equipped we are to deal with this kind of storm. And our eyes begin to fix on not only our circumstances, but on our failure to deal with them. We suddenly start to realize that we don't have the answers that we need. We don't know what we're supposed to do. We don't know how to get out of the situations that we find ourselves in at times. I wonder if in that moment, in this story, whether there were some thoughts of the disciples starting, I wonder if they started to blame themselves. You know, there were some thoughts that started to go through their mind. You know, why didn't we see it coming? You know, why did we head out onto the lake on, you know, when a storm was coming? You know, why didn't we stay closer to shore, or at very least, why didn't we get a bigger boat? But blaming ourselves for the crisis only leads us to believe that we can't trust God to help us with what we're feeling. Doesn't you get in that point where you go, well, why would God help me? This is all my fault. God's probably just going to leave me to deal with this stuff, this mess that I've made of my life. Problem is that trust in God that is based on our own performance is really still just trust in ourselves, isn't it? If God only helps those who are perfect and don't make mistakes, then what hope is there for any of us? The storms in our life are designed to help us get to that point where we realize that we don't have the ability to deal with it all by ourselves. And this is one of the reasons that I think God really allows us to go through tough times and storms and difficult things in our life, because they get us to that point where we realize the only thing left to do is to trust in Him. That He's the only one who's got the answers, that He's the only one that can help us to navigate through that stuff. I mean, think back to the story of the Apostle Peter on the night when Jesus was betrayed and arrested. You know, and it's like Peter had so much confidence in his ability. Do you remember his assertion? You know, no way, Jesus, I'll never deny you. Right up until the point when the heat was on, you know, and he was under threat, and all of a sudden it all just collapsed, didn't it? All his faith, all his confidence, all his bravado in his own faith, his confidence in himself to stand up for Jesus and, you know, and to stand with Jesus, it all just kind of fell apart. I don't know about you, but I know what it's like to kind of look back on how I've dealt with different situations with regret. There are times in my life, and I'm sure most of us could probably, if we put our minds to it, could think of times when we really ought to have trusted in God's care over us, but instead we reacted to our fears. It's a pretty, it's one of those things that's really easy to say, just trust in God, isn't it? One of those little Hallmark card kind of statements. But when it actually comes down to us being in the middle of the storm, those waves are mighty big and those clouds are really dark and that wind is fierce and those waves splashing over the side are really hard to ignore. And we can look back at those times when we didn't have enough faith to just kind of trust God, and we can look back with regret. We can look back like Peter did as the rooster crowed, and we can weep over our failures. And blame and accusation can threaten to swallow up the confidence that we have that God might work in our lives. But that self-focused faith, that self-focused faith that says, God will only look after me, God will only be there for me if I'm doing the right things, it leads us to two conclusions. It leads us to either the conclusion that we're not good enough or that God doesn't care about us enough. And both of those make us afraid. But God invites us instead to a place where, instead of our vision being fixed on the wind and on the waves, our eyes are fixed on the one who's in the boat with us. That instead of seeing the circumstances around us, or even instead of seeing our inability to deal with the circumstances, we have a confidence because we know that there is someone in the boat with us who does. We know that there is someone in the boat with us who has power over the wind and waves and can command the storm to be silent. But even if he doesn't command the storm to be silent, we know he's still in the boat with us. Craig Groeschel says, never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. And in the storms of our life, one of the most important things for us to do is to fix our eyes on the one who is in the boat with us. There is an absolute guarantee in his word that he doesn't leave us or forsake us. Psalm 91. Let me give you just a couple of scriptures and we're going to kind of draw to a close. Psalm 91, verse 14 and 15. I don't have this up here. It says, the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. Encourage you to go back and read through all of Psalm 91. It's a great psalm. But that says, when they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. Joshua 1 verse 9, just one more example. There's heaps of examples. Hebrews 13 is a great one as well. Joshua 1 verse 9 says, this is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is one of the things that as Christians, as believers, that we can have confidence in, is this promise of God that says, whatever the storm that we're facing, whatever the circumstances, no matter how big the waves are or how much they're beginning to splash over the sides, we know that Jesus is in the boat with us. Jesus is in the boat with us. And as we look to him, sometimes I think it's in the middle of the storm. Sometimes it's after the storm, like it was in the story. But Jesus asks us that question. What are you afraid of? Why are you afraid? And I want us to reflect on that question this morning. I want to reflect on that question. What are the things? Let's just close our eyes. Let's just begin to invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to reveal things to us. Holy Spirit, be our counselor this morning. Help us to be honest, to be open with you and the things that you're bringing light to in our lives. What are the areas in our life, God? What are the things that we're afraid of? What are the things that you're afraid of? What is the area or areas of your life where you find it really hard to let go and to trust God? What are the areas in your life that you really feel like you need to control and to manage? Jesus is asking us this morning that question, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? What are you afraid will happen if you let go and you trust God in that area? What are you afraid will happen if you're obedient and you step out in faith in that thing that he's calling you in and he's been putting on your heart? What are you afraid will happen if you speak to that person that he's been putting on your heart to speak to? What are you afraid will happen if you let go of control? What are you afraid will happen? And he's inviting you this morning to fix your eyes on the one who's in the boat with you. To remember that he's there. To take your eyes off of the situation, the circumstances, the wind and the waves, and to come to him, come to your Savior, to come to Jesus. Father, this morning, as we reflect on this passage of Scripture, as we reflect on this question, this challenge, Lord, as we allow your Spirit to be our counselor and to probe some of the areas in our life where we've had fear or we've wanted to keep control, we've had a difficulty in letting go and trusting you with certain things. Lord, we pray that you would help us to firstly to identify those things, to firstly own up to them, to confess that that's been a fear. That's been an area where we've had trouble trusting you. But Lord, we thank you that we can have that kind of relationship with you, where we can come and bring those things to you, allow you to take those things. We can put those things in your hands and trust them to you because we know that you are faithful and you are a good God. You work for us and not against us. You have a plan and a purpose that is for our good. That in the midst of whatever circumstance we're going through, whatever difficult time or challenge or struggle or thing that we're wrestling with, God, we know that you are present with us. You are in the boat of our lives. God, because you have promised that you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. Father, we pray for the kind of peace that can fill our heart that comes from your Spirit, Lord, in the midst of a storm. Lord, when you command peace, then there will be peace. And Lord, we pray that you would bring that into the lives of those this morning that are feeling the pressure of wind and waves and lightning and storms threatening all around. Those who are fearful, Lord, of what might happen. Lord, we pray that you would bring your peace into that situation. Lord, we thank you for your presence and your promise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You're missing a piano player, Jovi. Hannah, do you want to run over and ask Mum if she'll come back? Our musos are going to come back. Can we sing when Kerry gets back? Maybe we can sing 10,000 Reasons. Can we do that? Bless the Lord, O my soul.